Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, welcome to another hour of Tech Talk. I am Stephen Scott, back with you once again here today. And with me, my tech talkers, I've got Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet. Hello to you, Robin.
Oh, hello, Stephen. How are you doing?
I'm good, I'm good. Emails Andy's here as well. Hello, Emails Andy.
Hello, hello, hello.
And returning champion, it is the one and only Tim Schwartz. Tim Schwartz from lifeafterblindness.com. How are you, sir?
Hello, I am good. I'm refreshed, although slightly frustrated and annoyed after being away. But I am great. Thanks for having me.
There's lots to unpack there. Okay, I'm glad I've just put the sugar in my coffee here. So good holiday. Where did you go?
We went to Clearwater, Florida, which is right on the Gulf of Mexico, so we could spend some time on the beach. Mm-hmm. And during the trip, it wasn't necessarily bad, but it seemed like every night between 6 or 7 up through about 9, it rained. So we had to navigate that. My poor wife wanted to see a sunset, which was at 8:30 every night, and it was cloudy and rainy. But that was okay because, well, we're on the beach and fantastic food and drink, and it was just fun and relaxing. And then we tried to come home. The rain and storms that preceded Hurricane Elsa in that part of the world, we were there for those because we couldn't get out of Clearwater, Florida. We had to fly out of Tampa and fly into Chicago as a layover, and it wouldn't happen. And it took us a day and a half to just do that. Then we had to spend two nights in Chicago just to get home the next day after that. So we didn't actually, we were supposed to come home on the 28th, and we didn't get home until the 1st on my birthday. So yeah, lovely birthday for me. I got to travel for like 8 hours on my birthday. So.
Oh, wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. I know, I must admit, it sounds, in some ways you think, well, you're on holiday, right? So it doesn't matter, but it's right. Not really the case, is it? You know, you've got a lot of stuff to think about. You're obviously traveling as well. You know, it's not exactly huge amounts of fun, but you know, you're home now. That's a good thing.
Well, exactly. We're home now. We're relaxed. Although, you know, just trying to get, you know, come down from the frustration. Because at one point we were in an airport for like over 8 hours, and the airport still required that you have a mask on. So, which is fine. I respect that. So sitting in an airport in an uncomfortable chair, not knowing if you're going to get to leave or not, wearing a mask, it was. it was frustrating, but we're here, and all in all, before that, outside of that, it was a relaxing week for my wife and I. While we were doing that, my daughter was visiting with my parents for that whole time, so she got a little mini vacation, and we got some time alone, so it was nice.
Well, we're glad to be back, and that's the important thing. We're glad you're here, and you know, I'm glad it worked out in the end. I must say, Clearwater, Florida sounds nice at the moment. I was in a place called Oban at the weekend. Not quite the same, but similar in some ways. Water was nearby, and tons of it from the sky as well, which was lovely. Although in saying that, it wasn't as bad at the weekend. We had a nice weekend away. We were off visiting some family up in that part of Scotland, and it was really nice, actually. The weather was okay, but apparently in Glasgow, near where I live, it was pretty rubbish. Andy will, I guess, confirm that.
I can confer, that it was miserable this weekend, and that's after, 2 weeks of glorious sunshine. So, a lot of people saying, we need the rain. We need it. We need the rain.
It's too warm now. See, that's the thing in this country. You see, what happens is, and this is how it works, Robin, isn't it? That it starts off with, oh, it's lovely here. Oh, the heat is lovely. Now it's too warm. Now we need the heat. Now we need cold.
Never be satisfied. No. Yeah. Then there's about 58 seasons in one day, as it is at the moment.
Well, that's what I love about the UK. You know, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. It will change, I guarantee you. But look, we're here. We're all around the table again. We've all got. Have we all got a beverage? Because I've got my coffee here. Mm-hmm. I got a coffee just before we started.
Chamomile tea.
Oh, chamomile tea. Very posh. Tim, are you a bottle of water again, are you?
I am drinking ice water, yes, as usual.
Oh, lovely. Andy, what are you having there?
Decaf Earl Grey. In front of me here.
Half decaf already. Earl Grey, what's the point?
Poshest.
Decaf. Poshest. Decaf after midday.
The reason I ask...
has gone to 10.
Yeah, the reason I ask is because a new device is out that I'm so excited about. I've contacted the company this week. I'm like, you've got to send me one of these to play with. I just want to know what these are like. So I'm hopeless with these names, but I think it's Lavazza. And they tend, Lavazza tends to be, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that, it's Italian, so I guess Lavazza, I don't know, pizza, I've got no idea. But, you know, it sounds like Lavazza. I'll never get one of these machines now. But yeah, basically they've come up with this coffee machine which has got Lady A built in.
Oh,
I know. And it's like a proper Lady A, by all accounts. It's got the big blue ring on it, like you would get on an Echo Dot or whatever. I don't know if that changes colour, but it does have all the Echo buttons. It's called, and I love the name of this, it's called the Voicy. V-O-I-C-Y. Lavazza Modo Mio Voicy. I have no idea if I got that right, but it sounds good to me. But yeah, this is a new device. It's just out in the UK, or at least it's coming to the UK. I mean, it certainly is advertised here. Can we buy it? I'm just checking as we speak. I think we can.
I'm Googling it.
Yeah. £250 for the privilege of this thing, by the way.
Oh, I'm not Googling it anymore.
But you get Amazon Music as well. Built in. I know I'm not interested in the coffee. I'm just wanting the toy. Yeah, I mean, it's like a proper, authentic Italian espresso machine with the apparently the first coffee machine to be properly integrated with Lady A, which is kind of cool. You can request coffee by voice or app. You can set personalized coffees for every occasion. And apparently, it can also automatically determine. When you need coffee capsules, it will just go and order them for you, which is nice of it. So, yeah, I love the notion of this because of the tech, right? I just love the fact they've done this. But you can sort of see a lot of blind people. I know this feels a bit tenuous to some degree. So, of course, blind people would love to be able to just ask for a coffee. Just remember and put the coffee cup underneath. First, guys, that's important to remember that. I have done this before. I've put the pod in, hit the button, and forgot all about the cup. And the mug that I should have put in place. Yeah, it does. Or what sometimes happens with these machines is when you go and close the little lid, it sometimes bursts the pod. So you don't, you know, so you end up, it's just spraying coffee granules all over the place. Not much fun. Again, this one, I'm sure.
Like
yeah, it's me, all right. It is. But I'm not saying this is going to happen with this one. I'm sure it's better than that. Who knows?
I've only seen that they only do espresso coffee, so they don't have much of a range. Is that right?
That's what I'm getting from it, yeah. It seems to be more of an espresso machine.
Right. I'm a cappuccino drinker, so that's me out already.
Yeah, you think it'd be able to do more, though, right? I mean,
it's the same, is it not? I don't know.
Baby steps, first iteration, version 2.
Yeah, because if it's saying personalised coffee, right? I mean, imagine, what is that? Just one shot espresso versus two?
One per person.
Yeah, that's right, you get one each. That's it. So I don't know, so that's quite interesting as an idea, but I saw it this week and I thought, I love when you get a new toy that's kind of, you know, because I have to be honest these days, guys, a lot of the technology, it's all the same really, isn't it? We're always talking about the new iPhone or the new Android phone or the new Echo Dot or the new iteration of something that already exists. It's nice to get something new to play with, even though in this case it is still bringing forward, you know, technology we know. I mean, it'll have speakers in it. I don't think you're going to get thumping bass from this particular coffee machine, because why would you, right? But but for the kitchen, it makes a lot of sense. So yeah, we'll see. But if they send me one, I will review it. If not, then fine. But I'm not paying £250 for it. Forget that. Anyway, let's say. Well, do you know what? I normally would say just go for it, but no. Do you know what? On this one, I'm thinking if it's only espressos, probably not. You know, I think I'm like Andy. I like a choice, like a latte. I want one that cleans itself. I find these machines are useless because they don't clean themselves.
You hate cleaning them, yeah.
Oh, I can't stand it. There's a little light goes on my Tassimo, which goes on every so often, and it'll say, and it's basically telling you to clean the thing out. And, you know, the temptation is just to throw the whole thing in the bin and buy another one, right? Because it's like, who can be bothered? But obviously, I have to think about the planet and the environment and the emails I'll get. So, you know, I don't do that. Instead, I just wait until it figures itself out or breaks. One of the two.
I hesitate to say this in the current coffee connoisseur company, but we just got a £20 DeLonghi percolator. I mean, I know it's, you know, not espresso, lappuccino, coffee whatever, where it does all the, you know, but I mean, podcasts. You just put the water in the back, you wash the jug out after you've used it. And that's it. Just put some coffee in, a little filter in the top.
Boring.
There's a big button on the front that makes a beep. And yeah, I mean, if you like filter coffee, you know, then...
I do.
Yeah, and you can get a separate coffee frother and whizzer and all that sort of thing. So
rebelling against technology here. This is from someone who's got a smart mug, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly. Well,
right. Yeah, pour it in there and it'll stay hot forever. Yeah. It's definitely technology. It beeps. Must be.
Oh, well, it's definitely technology then, yeah. If it beeps, it's height
and
of technology.
And it turns itself off after 40 minutes, so you can't inadvertently leave it on, so, yeah.
Oh, it sounds like an absolute steal. That's an absolute steal. Yeah, I mean...
I want to hear Alexa... Oh, I said, darn it, I do that all the time. I want to hear Lady A say, your coffee pot is still on. Would you like me to turn it off? You know, that would be funny.
Well, I like the idea. I mean, that's the thing, though, right? Because a lot of people will probably buy this particular device to get coffee when they wake up in the morning. So you wake up because, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, right? But it's like, oh, you've got to come in. And it's going to take like a couple of minutes to make that cup of coffee. Wouldn't it be great if I could automate this process? Actually, you know, just take the 2 minutes, right? I mean, take the 2 minutes out and just, you know, stare at the window or listen to something or do, you know, listen to the birds or, you know, do something else. But the truth is, that's what people are doing. They're getting it so they can make the coffee in advance. But again, remember to put the mug in. Otherwise, you walk down the morning and suddenly your very quick automated routine has turned into a half-hour cleaning job.
I wanted it to be a percolator machine, because then the A-lady within it could go plop, 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 like on that advert for, was it Gold Blend or something? She would make the noises like in the advert.
Oh, I remember, so yes. Yes, That's going back a bit.
You, Stephen, you would put in like a sensor from your bedroom that's hooked up to Lady A, so when you walk past the sensor, it automatically triggers the routine to start the coffee, and then Lady A will let you know when your coffee has completed. And then you want a robot to deliver it to you, I'm sure. So,
well, that's the next thing. I've said this before. Yes. I said this the last time I had Amazon on the show. I asked the question, you know, can we get an Amazon Echo with wheels? I want Echo Wheelie as the next one. And I said, look, if you use that, that's fine. But I want a free one. If you use that name, I'll give you the IP on it, but I want a free one. I want an Echo Wheelie that basically just, you know, wheels itself up the stairs and delivers coffee, biscuits, chocolate, crisps.
The daily newspaper. Yeah,
that's right. In Braille.
In Braille.
And I want it to Braille it as well. So yeah, all that stuff. Anyway, look, we're not going to spend the entire show talking about coffee, I promise you. Shall we get to some emails? I can't remember which one the email button is. Is it that one? Oh, it is that one. There we go. Email. That was a lucky guess. We get email. We get your email every day. We do get your email every day. Here's your mail today. And not as much spam as we used to get, I was noticing, Andy. I don't know what you've done to the inbox, but the spam seems to be going away, which is good news.
I was replying back to them and being nasty, telling them they should shove their spam.
The robots have listened. Well, there you go. You see, you can fight back against the machine, it would appear. Right, let's get to the email inbox. I know there's tons in there, so let's get to the first one.
Yeah, let's start on page 1 of 9. Dear Stephen, Robin, Andy and the crew... I've been listening to Tech Talk for the last couple of years. I've been listening to Tech Talk for the last couple of years, and I really enjoy the program. I usually listen while out walking in the lanes on the hill behind our village overlooking Lyme Bay in South Devon.
Oh, that sounds nice.
It does this time of year. Oh, yeah, late evening stroll. I use my iPhone SE first generation, which is still going strong. When I'm not listening to Tech Talk, I'm often listening to downloaded talking books from RNIB's reading services. I use the Dolphin Easy Reader app on my iPhone, and I find this extremely convenient. My main reason for writing. For Christmas, 3 years ago, I was presented with my first Amazon Echo. I didn't have a clue what it was when I unwrapped it, but I very quickly became a Lady A convert. We now have... the Echo Show 8, 2 standard Echoes, and 3 dots. She controls our blinds, many lights, and even the pump in our garden pond.
Oh, nice.
How does that work?
That's good. That's great. Because I'll be on a smart plug, probably.
Smart plug, yeah. From simple maths, spelling, and date questions to newly discovered metronome and ukulele tuning skills, ukulele tuning skills. There's a skill. Yeah.
That's a skill.
Lady A has been a brilliant addition to our home, so much so that I decided to buy my son an Echo for his Christmas present the following year. God, there's so many shows going on. A few months later, we were asked to babysit for our four grandchildren, eldest 8 years old, when we were staying in their home in rural Staffordshire. I tried the Echo, but it hadn't been set up. Now, being a bit of an expert, I decided to set it up myself. The children were delighted listening to Baby Shark on full volume and dancing around the kitchen. Oh. On our next visit, a few months later, the eldest child said, "Grandpa, we hear you sometimes. We heard you last week." At first, I didn't understand what he was talking about. Then slowly the penny dropped. I had used the make an announcement function on Lady A in our home in Devon to tell my wife dinner was being served or something like that. Because I'd used my iPhone to set up my son's Echo, we were linked. The announcement was being made in Devon and 200 miles away in Staffordshire. I quickly inserted a pin into the reset hole on my son's Echo to restore the factory settings and clear any links to my account. I consider that I had a lucky escape. Yeah, you did. It could have been a lot worse.
Could have been a lot worse.
Buying all sorts.
I could have announced something that might have been far more embarrassing. Yes. Perhaps this could be read out as a potential warning to other techie grandpas. Thanks for a great program. That email's from Peter.
Well, Peter, great to hear from you. I'm glad you enjoy listening to us on the evening walk. And yeah, thank you so much for getting in touch. You know, it is a tale of... Just thinking things through a bit, and it's very difficult because you don't think about these things, do you? Until this comes along, until something like this would happen, it wouldn't even occur to you. But yeah, I mean, all these accounts are all linked together. So you know, if you use the same account to set up, you know, an Echo Dot, and I remember years ago the problem was with iMessage. People would have the. In fact, I don't know if I'm talking at school here, but I remember RNIB back in the day when we first issued. We were first issued with iPhones, there was just one account for RNIB staff to use, right? So everybody signed into the same account. And the idea was that if someone, like the organisation, bought an app, you could have access to the app and the organisation only had to pay once. So it made a lot of sense. The problem was that suddenly everyone was getting messages all over the place. And I was getting text messages from people I didn't know, and you know, other people were getting messages. The Find My function on the phone was enabled, so that I could pretty much find out where every single member of the team were at any given time. People I didn't even know. It was every single aspect of the account was just because we were sharing an account. Everyone's details were open to everybody else, and it was a bit weird. And of course, very quickly it was recognised and rectified and sorted, and then we all got our own accounts. But it was just. It just goes to show, you know, that, you know, it's not like a silly thing to happen. Organisations were doing it as well in the early days of this. And we're still, to some degree, in the early days of all this. But, no, great story. Absolutely brilliant story. And really interesting to hear your love of the Echo. I know, Robin, you'll echo literally all of that because you're a huge fan as well. And you've probably bought most of them as well.
Yes, I have. I don't think I've got as many as they have, though. But yeah, I am somewhat of a fan.
Any embarrassing announcements, though, Robin?
Well, our son has left home. He now lives in Newcastle and he has taken one of the Echo shows. And yes, it is still on the same account.
Oh.
So he could be buying stuff through his Echo, for example. But yeah, no, we don't tend to use the announcement feature. But yeah, he would get it.
Yeah, we use it in our house all the time. I mean, it's the only way my wife can... She'll shout up the stairs, but if I've got the headphones on, I won't hear anything. So she just, instead of screaming my name at the top of, you know, her voice, she can just now shout through Amazon, you know, Echo, just say announce, and it'll, you know, do its thing. But isn't it interesting, though, right? You know, hearing what Peter's saying there, how people can go from not having a clue what the device even is to suddenly you've got a house full of them, all that technology that's been operated, you know, the blinds, the
pond pump,
you know, everything is being used by this thing. It is amazing how quickly, and it shows how, in some ways, how easy it is. It's not, I mean, there are challenges with it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I find with the smart bulb thing, I've got IKEA smart bulbs. Andy knows only too well because he came shopping with me to buy them.
I did, yeah. cleaned the shelf.
Cleaned the shelf for them, but yeah, I took the lot.
One-armed scoop straight in the trolley.
I need 25 of your finest bulbs. So, you know, bought them all, brought them home, and they still work to this day. They're brilliant. But I have to be honest, it's the software's a bit flaky, so sometimes they just fall off the Lady A side of things. So they're still connected. They're still working, but they seem to rename themselves and they fall out of the groups. And I don't get that with Philips Hue, and I don't get that with other ones. And I wonder if it's software updates. And bear in mind, every single device you're connecting has got its own software, its own firmware. You know, there's a lot of updating required constantly. Some of it's done in the background. Some of it does it itself, and that's fine. But it's a tricky world, you know, and I can see in 5 years, you know, this will be quite different. Because the technology will be far more self-sustaining, far more self-aware. You know, if something needs an update, it'll just do it. I find Philips Hue are very good. Very expensive bulbs, though, but I do find them very good. When they need an update, they just flash. Suddenly, I'll be sitting here, and all the lights just flash. And I looked up, you know, what's going on? I Googled it. I said, why is this doing this? And it was because it was getting an update. And that was it. It was just doing it there and then. No, that's pretty smart, actually, you know. A bit freakish, but yeah, it was good. But now,
luckily,
at least I know.
Converging on a single protocol for smart home, you know, connected devices.
Well, that's another thing. Yeah,
we're going to hopefully be doing away with the need for separate hubs as smart speakers like the Echo, the latest gen, have those built in as well. Just to finish the thought on both the iCloud or the Apple ID and the Amazon side of things. Yes, definitely don't use the same Apple ID across family members. In both Apple ID, you know, the Amazon iCloud side of things. And now in the Amazon account side of things, there is a family. There is the concept of a family. So set everyone up with separate IDs or Amazon accounts and then bring them into your family. You can all share the same music, video purchases, etc., but you won't have this problem where they are all treated as one person, in effect.
Yeah. You did that, Tim, didn't you? You did that for your daughter as well. I think you...
Yep.
Yeah. Because that's...
Yeah, we have it for our iCloud account. So my wife and I have, of course, our own profiles. And then a long time ago, I had set up a iCloud email account for our daughter, even before she ever even had any kind of iDevice. And then this last year, when she got an iPad, I was able to just log her right into that account. It was already set up on our family profile, and it was already set with child, you know, settings and precautions and things, and you know, all the proper securities and all that kind of thing. So yeah, it works out really, really well. And then, like Robin said, with the Echo, we've set that up as well. So she's got a dot in her bedroom and we can announce to that. I rather like being able to tell the Echo in the room that I'm in, turn up the volume to level 10 on her Echo, and then announce and, you know, try to get her attention. Cause as you said, Stephen, she's always got her headphones on too. So, have the Echo yell at her or play music or something to get her attention. But no, the profiles work really, really well, or the family sharing, you know, works really well. And nicely in the, for example, in the Amazon app, you'll see each device and each person, and you can, you know, set up the each device, you know, very specifically. So yeah, it works well. I also want to say, hello, Peter. My name is Tim. Pleased to meet you.
He's been here a while. Yeah, he has. He's been here a while, haven't you?
On and off, but yeah, mostly on. Yeah, I've been here a while.
I just want to say as well, just a quick one on the app as well, the Lady A app. I say Lady A because she's sitting here next to me.
Yeah, don't make a mistake. I always do. Don't say the word.
No. Under the there's a button in there, a link, I guess, in there called See More. And under that now, there's a new one, which I think it probably has been there a while, Blueprints. Which, if you want to have a play around with, yeah, well, they're a bit more advanced, I think, in the States than they are here. But they do have some. So there's featured ones like custom Q&A, so you can have, you know, customizing responses to your questions, which is kind of cool. There's a chore chart, great for the kids. Roast your friends and family with lighthearted roasts. House guest, so you can welcome your guests with a guide to your a home and neighborhood. Great if someone's staying at your home or with you and you just want to give them some information, false or otherwise. And you can even create your own adventure story where your child is the hero. And this is just some of them, but I'm going to get into some of these because they look like a lot of fun.
The guest one is really nice because you could use something like that for, say, a babysitter or a caregiver for when you're not around for the child or the person that needs the care, because you could have it pre-programmed with those Q&As to give information. So all they have to do is say, where is the, you know, fill in the blank. Now, of course, you have to have programmed those questions. So if they ask it a question that you didn't program, of course, it's not going to know. But if you've tried, you know, your best to make sure to cover as much as you can, everything that the babysitter would need to know, or whomever, you know, is staying at your home or in your house while you're not there, it is a really great way to help in those situations and tell people, yep, this is where something is, or this is what you need, or this is, you know, bedtime. You know,
there's even one for flatmates, right? So one for flatmates, one for pet sitters as well. So, you know, you can give information like, you know, where do you keep the dog food type thing, you know?
Exactly.
And you can even make them public. So you could create a quiz and then tell people what you've called it and they can
search for it.
Do it themselves.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to go and make it. You don't have to be a developer to make a skill. Well, you can do it that way. Yeah, that is basic. But yeah, but that's it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Anyway, let's get some other emails in, because we're only halfway through the show and all we've talked about is a coffee machine and an Amazon Echo. Right, let's go to another email. Peter, thanks so much for that email. I really appreciate it. Andy, what else have we got?
Should we talk about Clubhouse? So we've got a couple of emails here from a listener called Patrick, and I'm reading them both out because obviously it makes sense to read one after the other. Hi, Tech Talk gang. Great show, guys. My wife is a Stephen fan, so I'm allowed to listen to these shows.
Okay. I don't quite know what to say to that, but okay, let's go with it.
Clubhouse seems to be all the rage at the moment. I listen to yourselves, Apple Viz, Mosin at Large, and you all talking about Clubhouse this, Clubhouse that. But I've signed up to Clubhouse on my iPhone, so I assume I'm on the waiting list, but that seems to be invisible to me. I do not know anybody else in Clubhouse or any other visually impaired people, so I'm on my own. Why is this situation held against me? Any advice on this matter would be great to hear. Maybe there is someone out there who would like to be my friend, like we're back in the playground.
Aww.
And then Patrick continues on in his next email. Hi to the king of blind and VI tech shows, Brill. I've been listening to your podcast for a few years now. Very informative and funny. But not pointing at you, but to the Clubhouse situation. It's getting me extremely frustrated. Many shows like yours for the blind and VI community are using Clubhouse, as it seems to be well aligned to this use. But not if you are, if you're not in Clubhouse, then you're locked out. It seems to be a random thing or an old boys network as to whether you get a login or not. So I'm on the list, apparently, but this is of no use to me. These programs are in the now. I know that this is a developing app and that we are promised a full rollout in the future. But in the meantime, this situation is not exactly inclusive. I don't know a single other Clubhouse member to let me in, but then I wouldn't, as I am virtually locked out. It would be interesting to know what workarounds there are for this and what your general opinion is on the situation, which I find to be poor. Sorry for the rant, but as I said, it's frustrating. Thanks for listening. That is from Patrick.
Yeah, well, it seems to be the same conversation time and time again with this. It is the way that Clubhouse's model is at the moment. And Tim, it still is the case that you need an invite from someone to get in, don't you?
It is still the case, and it will continue to be for a little while because of the current development of it. It is still being developed and is not technically a public app yet. So Patrick is right in that respect. And the reason that they do that is because they don't want, during a beta process, to have the app just completely inundated with, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of people. Although there are many millions of people that use the app, they don't want to all of a sudden have that go 10 times overnight and crash everything. And so they've done a slow buildup over the last year and a half or so that the app has been, you know, sort of kind of, you know, functional and usable, where they've slowly let people in more and more. And even now, I mean, you know, there's a lot more people coming in all the time, but that's more of a, you know, let's test it slowly, properly. Let's not crash it before it goes fully public kind of thing. As far as the invites, yeah, I mean, that's a way to control that influx of people. So if you know somebody, you know, that can say, oh, I see that, you know, so-and-so for my contacts has been put on the waiting list, I will hit the button and let them in. You know, that works well if you do know people that are in Clubhouse. And I was, you know, for a while there, I didn't think I was going to get in. Then all of a sudden, somebody randomly that I know just let me in. I'm like, oh, okay. And it seems like pretty much everybody that I know seemingly is in there. So, yeah, I don't know why Patrick's having that trouble, but I'm sure that we can maybe find a way to get Patrick in.
I'm sure we can help you out with that. I mean, we can... What does he need? An email address? A phone number? How do you get...
Phone number.
See, that's the other thing, isn't it? A lot of people don't like that either. They've got to give out their phone number. Well, no, not so much to a friend, I guess, but, you know, there are a few people who've got concerns around privacy. Where is Clubhouse? I'm asking you as the official spokesperson here for Clubhouse, but I know you're on Clubhouse a lot, and I know you do listen closely to what's going on. And I think you're a very nuanced voice on it. You know, you've been following it. So what is privacy like on there? Because there was a concern that they were asking for contact lists and, you know, you would have to essentially sign your soul over to them. You know, where are they with that?
Well, that was the impression that a lot of people were getting was, okay, they're looking at my contact list on my phone. And of course, you have to give permission to do that. You have to hit an allow button to let them do that. You can decline that. But all that means is then they won't be able to see your contacts to recommend to you other friends or, you know, people to invite in or people to invite you in, etc. So not allowing that is what, you know, what'll happen there. However, consider the fact that how often have you gone on Facebook over the last many years, decade, and it says, you know, suggested friends, or we recommend this person to you based on your other contacts, your location, your phone number, your email, your whatever, you know, algorithm that Facebook is using. Twitter does the same thing. They recommend people to you based on a lot of factors. So this isn't new. Clubhouse claims that they do keep it very private. They have right there in their terms and services that they do not sell any information whatsoever. They have that right there in their legal. So if you found that they did, you could take them for the billions, literally billions that they now have raised through venture capital. I personally, as private as I like to keep things and as techie as I am, I'm usually very cognizant of those kind of things. But with Clubhouse, it's never really been an issue for me because, well, Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest of them have my phone number and my email, and they use it to tell me about friends or family members as well. So I just... unfortunately, just, you know, one of those things being on social media. But again, you can decline it and still get into Clubhouse. It just doesn't suggest as many people to you from your contacts to be your friends. But that doesn't mean you can't still find those people. You know, you can search and still find those people. And that's the key to something like Clubhouse specifically is, you know, following people, them following you back, following clubs, you know, searching for rooms and participating. Because otherwise, your experience is going to be very flat. You may not find a lot of content if you're not following people or following clubs and things. That's kind of the, you know, discovery aspect of it.
Well, I'll be interested to know your thoughts on this when you finally get in. But yeah, it is a good app. And I enjoyed being on it. I must admit, I tended to, it depend on the group, obviously. That's the thing about it. It depends who's there. I find a lot of US content on it, so it tends to find it's later in the night. I tend to hear people, which is kind of suits me in some ways. But no, it's a good app. It is. I agree with you, though. Sorry, the first person, Andy, who commented on this, was it Patrick who commented on
this? They were both Patrick, yeah.
Right. So, you know, the first comment about it being a bit of a boys' club, I get that. And that's why we haven't hosted any Tech Talk shows on there. Because, you know, I kind of feel, no, I mean, we're here in R&IB, and that's where we are. And you'll always hear us here first and via the podcast. You know, we may do something on Clubhouse at some point, but I'd like it to be almost at the same time as we're doing it on R&IB, so that it's not, you know, doing two separate things or giving someone else the access first. I know some people like to do that. There's also a lot of questions around availability through captioning and stuff. There's a lot of disabled people quite annoyed about that as well. So there's quite a lot of conversation about it. But I think the idea is good. I do like the idea, and I do like audio-based content. Well, we're blind, right? So that's how it goes. Anyway,
And the interactivity between yourself, you know, as us as podcasters and hosts, you know, being able to reach out to our community and host discussions. I do have a Life After Blindness club on there that has nearly 900 members now, and we do rooms several times a week, support groups, discussions, Q&As, tech discussions, you know, all kinds of things. And we get so many people come in with so many great ideas and you know, interaction. And so it is a really good platform for that kind of discussion. And there's, of course, you know, hundreds, thousands of other different applications that people use it for and discussions that people have. But for me, that use case has been really great to connect with the community. So as it grows, and definitely when it becomes more public, for me, I look at it right now as just I'm practicing. I'm trying to learn how to do it best, how to moderate a room the best that I can and build a community. So when it does go public and live, then we can ramp that up and really make something even bigger and more special. So yeah, I think only time will tell, you know, when it goes public, but for now, you know, yeah, just we'll try to get you in, Patrick. Email us. We'll work. Yeah,
we'll sort out. Okay, Andy, let's get another email.
Long time listener to the show, Gordon Anthony, has sent in two emails. So here they are, sandwiched together. Dear Tech Talkers, we all love Andy, so I thought we'd better send in an email to ensure that he has something to read. Two things that I'd like to share with you. First, it seems that Microsoft have broken Outlook. When you get a new email, the suggested autofill list of recipients no longer appears. I've heard on some forums that this applies to Outlook on Office 2016, 2019, and 365. I know using Control and K brings up a list of names in contacts, but that doesn't help for sending an email to someone who is not in your contacts. I was getting so annoyed with this that I called the Microsoft Disability Help Desk via the Be My Eyes app. The lady I spoke to was not aware of any bug in Outlook, so tried to fix it. She was not able to do so eventually discovered that there was indeed a bug in the recent Office update. She confirmed that a fix would be released soon, but there's nothing else that she could do. Today, less than a week after that conversation, the Microsoft Help Desk called me back to confirm that it had issued a fix and it had been released. The gentleman even talked me through the process of updating Outlook. It only took a few minutes, and everything is now back the way it should be. So thanks to Be My Eyes and to Microsoft for helping me get to the bottom of this problem. Secondly, I'm a big Apple fan, and I've used Apple Podcasts for years. However, it's been getting increasingly clumsy recently, and the latest iOS update has ruined it. Yes, it's still accessible, but not nearly as usable as it used to be. Focus jumps around for no obvious reasons, and I've often found myself trying to get a podcast to play only to find that for some other podcast has leaped into focus and begins playing that one instead of the one I wanted. I've become so fed up with this that I'm now switching over to using Overcast to listen to podcasts. It's totally accessible with VoiceOver, and it seems easy to use. Other podcasts apps are available. Keep up the good work. That's from Gordon. Now, Gordon's also issued a PS here. For anyone else that's having the Outlook issue, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this or have come across it at all.
A while, but now it's sorted itself, for Gordon. Yeah.
One of the updates rolled out. He also says, PPS, wishing Stephen a speedy recovery. I certainly missed my weekly fix of tech banter, but having a healthy show host is more important than that.
Well, I don't be healthy, but I'm certainly back. yeah. I'm here. That's the main thing, I guess. Yeah. Thanks, Gordon. I appreciate that. Anyone want to pick up on any of that?
That autocomplete, just arrowing down through all of the recent Johns, if you start typing, and then that's supremely useful. And yeah, Control-K for people that weren't aware, I'm big on hotkeys, as you know. So every time we can slip one in for all of you, in this case, Outlook users, yeah, Control-K brings up your global address book. And if you work for a company, if it's an Exchange account, for example, then that'll be everyone in your company. So yeah, good stuff.
As far as the Apple Podcasts issue goes, that focus jumping bug with VoiceOver, I think that's more of a universal iOS thing, because I actually have that happen from time to time in other apps, and I'm actually using iOS 15, yes, on my main driver phone, actually. But it still kind of pops around here and there. So I think that's a bigger, broader issue going on with iOS. But as far as the functionality of podcasts, I think in the most recent iOS 14, it has gotten a little bit better. Definitely in iOS 15, it's much, much better, but that's a ways off, for public release or, official release. But yeah, I think that's just a voiceover bug that's been going on for a while. What do you mentioned about Overcast, though, Overcast is a really great alternative, very accessible on purpose. It's not like it's an afterthought or a mistake. It is accessible on purpose, and it has a lot more options. So, yeah, that's a really good alternative to use.
It requires a subscription, though, doesn't it?
No.
Okay.
Certain features you can pay to add certain things, but it's nothing game breaking. It's nothing required. I think maybe get rid of certain things or add certain things, but no, if you want speed enhancements or other, you know, other categorization things, nope, it's totally free.
What are people's preferred podcatching app?
Well, I'll be honest. I tend to just use the podcast app or Ask the A-Lady, you know, the Apple one, but I haven't been in for a while. You know, I just kind of dip in and out as I feel the need, or I'm on the computer and listen. I just usually Google it and go from there. Not the best way to do it, I guess, but you know, it's just the way I like to do it. It just depends on what I'm doing. I'm a terrible, as you guys know, I am a terrible listener to anything. I mean, a guy who's in the job I do, I am hopeless at listening. Not the best advert for myself, I admit, but it's true. It's like my wife put on a book the other day. I wasn't even listening to the book. She put it on and it said, there are 20 hours to go in this book. And I'm thinking, 20 hours? Who's got the time for that? And not only that, I will be, you know, out for the count by the time that book is even a minute in. So, you know, there's no point. I did read, though, that Amazon are apparently going to bring out a new way of getting either Audible books or Kindle books. I think they're calling it Kindle Vella. And the idea is that they will dish out chunks of audiobooks rather than whole audiobooks. It will be sort of delivered in small chunks for, I guess, idiots like me. So that would be ideal. That would work, you know, like a half-hour version of something. And then, you know, you just get the next half hour the next week or whatever. I could go with that. I can hear the disdain from everybody here. It's just like,
I'm terrible at listening as well, in as much as, so Downcast, that's my favourite one by a long way. I have something like 256 hours of outstanding listening. So yes, I actually
just delete it. Forget it. That's not happening.
I listen to a lot of stuff, but I'm a poor listener in terms of keeping up to date with the things that I subscribe to. But yeah, Downcast is mine. Like it.
Okay, fine. Let's get another email in, Andy.
Alan has emailed in, hi, Stephen, Robin, Tim, emails Andy. Hooray. I was listening to today's Tech Talk and I heard you talking about Supernova screen reader. So I thought I'd drop you an email to say that you can set it to mimic other screen readers like Jaws, Window, Eyes and Magic. To do this, you go to the Dolphin Products control panel and press Alt and then it says Menu. Then using the cursor keys, you move the arrow right-hand key until it says General Menu. And then under there, you use the down arrow until you hear keyboard and hotkeys. And then you enter in on that and you choose keyboard, where you'll find another menu with two options, keyboard language and hotkey set. And if you tab down to hotkey set, you'll hear the above options and choose the option you want. And then you can tab to OK and press Enter. And then you'll find that you use the keyboard functions that you used with previous screen readers. I hope this helps to anyone that's listening that comes across this problem. That's from Alan.
Great. Well, for anybody who wants to use that, yeah, that's a fantastic
Please
suggestion.
Please don't listen to a letter word.
No, I think it's great. It is great. And I mean, I must admit, I'm not a Supernova user, but that doesn't mean anything. So, you know, that's good. But no, for those who do.
I think this is huge because there's only one reason why I would use Narrator comfortably. It's a good screen reader now, but, you know, the reason why it would feel so comfortable is because it's adopted the Jaws keystrokes.
Well, that's the key point, right, that we want it to be is, I mean, I think that there should just be a standard approach to, you know, accessibility across the board, across every OS, that should just be the same. Of course, Apple would be the only ones to stand out from that. But, you know, I'd still love that option to say, you know, if you imagine how many people would feel more comfortable jumping to a Mac if you could just say, look, just make it the Jaws layout. Just do Jaws layout on VoiceOver. How cool would that be?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's get another email in because I'm conscious of time and I want to get through some more emails, guys. So what else have we got, Andy?
Well, this email just starts, hey, Stephen.
You're on your own. I'm on my own in this
one,
right?
You have to answer this one.
Okay, fine.
I was playing around in Find My on my Mac, and I had some old device listed. Since they don't exist anymore, I arrowed down to them, and I went to the menu, and I couldn't find a way of getting rid of them. But then I tried Control, Option, Command, Space, and it gave me the context menu for that old device. And then there was an option to remove the device. So I pressed Enter, and it asked for my iCloud password, and now they're all gone. Now, second random note, the new Siri voices actually appear to have names. I wanted to have a new voice for a single app on my iPhone, so I went into Settings, Accessibility, VoiceOver, Activities, and then added a new activity. And I selected Siri Voice 3 and saved it. And when I went back into the setting for that activity, the voice is listed as Damon. There is no value to this information, but there you go. Have a great day. That's from John.
Well, that is actually interesting, because they didn't have names originally. It was just Siri Voice 1, 2, 3, and 4.
And officially, I don't think they're supposed to. That was the whole point when they announced it. They even said that it was going to be very kind of non-specific, and they are just labeled 1, 2, 3, 4. So,
well, there's the argument that, not so much for the male voices, I guess, but for female voices, there's a sense of we need to get away from the idea of female voices being essentially servants to us.
Right.
That does not, you know, the Amazon Echo has this problem. Google, to some degree, has this problem, but it also has a male option. There is a sense of, and there's a real debate about this in the world at the moment around tech, about the efficacy of it. And, you know, the idea of a child today growing up learning to summon a device and a female voice giving, you know, whatever the child wants, you know, so do that, make my coffee, and suddenly a coffee shows up. It feels a bit subservient.
Housewife shows up.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah. And that's not really appropriate anymore. So I think they're trying to make voices that are a bit more. There was one, I think, was it Google? I read this a while ago. I think Google had come up with one.
Color profiled or something.
But it was like, it was a voice that you could really not, I mean, unless you were really, you know, you were inclined one way or the other to try and work it out. The voice didn't really have a gender of any kind. I think the name was Sam.
Microsoft Sam was a thing, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, that no. Well, yeah. We're way beyond that. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. That was a thing back in the day. But no, this was different. This is a new voice that didn't have any kind of gender association at all. Anyway, that's by the by. But that's you're right. That's why these names probably these voices shouldn't really have names. But that's interesting. I must admit, the activities
that was an
thing.
Easter egg.
What?
It was an Easter egg that he found.
Oh, sorry, I got excited. I thought you meant chocolate.
Go through the
right, okay.
I mean, boring Damon, Easter egg. That's, you know, obviously a bloke's name, but they could have chosen like Chris or
sexist.
Sam, like you said. Where
no, but it's,
they are gender neutral.
But the thing is that the activities thing, I've never really delved into, I must admit. I'm pretty sure this is an area of voiceover I should probably get used to. Because I'll tell you one thing I'd love.
Nice.
I would love to find a way, and maybe there is a way of doing this. I'd love to find a way of having my voice, not my voice, but the phone's voice, change at 5 o'clock at night. Because one thing I cannot abide is sitting down after work and the same voice is reading my Twitter and my news or my you know text messages that I've been listening to all day at work. So I want to change it.
I know you can change it using sultry evening mode.
You're right.
Yes.
I know that using activities, you can change it per app experience, so a different app could use a different voice. I'll have to double check and see if it's got a time option on it. I last time I looked, I don't remember seeing it, but that doesn't mean it's not there.
Could be like
but
a shortcut, maybe?
You can change it per app. Yeah, you could very easily probably do a shortcut for it. I will look into that.
Kind of be a great idea, wouldn't it? Being able to sort of just change the voice and do it itself, you know, so you just forget about it. And then at 5 o'clock at night, suddenly you're thinking, oh, that's my leisure voice. Because I don't know, this is one of those discussions you can only really have among other blind people who use these TTS, text-to-speech voices. But is there an argument to say that, you know, they maybe need to start building in, not personality to the voice and more of that? I know there's a lot of that goes on, but, I mean, for Jaws, for example, I love Eloquence because it's a fast, speedy voice. I can have it ramped up as loud, as fast as I want, and I can get through my day. But when I'm in evening mode, you know, lounging around with my carpet slippers on, as opposed to wooden floor slippers, I guess, then, you know, I want to just chill out a bit and I don't want that voice to be there. So I can change. So, I mean, obviously I can change it, but it's about settings at the moment and it's a bit of a faff. Whereas if I can just go in and, you know, automatically do it. So, yeah, get on that, Tim. Come on, Tim.
I will work on that. Well, as you know, with JAWS, you can do profiles, so you can switch the profile. I've actually spoken to some people with Freedom Scientific and Vespero to say, can we make that shortcut a little faster, a little, you know, switching easier? And they agreed. They think that could be something to be done because more people should be using profiles. But
Control-insert-S.
Right, exactly. You're right. And then just arrow up and down through your profiles. So I think on iOS, I I'll have to look. But what I would like to see is the new focus ability that's in iOS 15. This is a big conversation for another day. But as you're saying that, Stephen, because I've set up focus for a couple different scenarios, and to add something like, you know, voiceover changing for that focus, to change it from whatever main, you know, voice you use to a more leisurely, slower voice during that focus period, that would be a great implementation.
Yeah, I mean, look at Windows 11. So Windows 11's come out, and you're probably thinking, why haven't they been all over this talking about it? Well, truth be told, there's not a huge amount to say at the moment, especially from an accessibility point of view. A lot of it's very visual, the changes. Some, I think, will make a real difference to people who have low vision, I've no doubt. But, you know, I think all of us here probably were not the best people to talk about that. I don't think. Maybe we'll certainly have a guest on who can talk from that, but, you know, in a couple of weeks' time. But at the moment, I don't think that's something we should delve into. However, I do think that the voice aspect is interesting because it does play into that, but also plays into the changeable desktops or the customizable desktop. So, for example, I think visually you can have it where on Windows 11 you can now have a desktop that's your work desktop and then your home desktop. So it could be different colours, I guess. I think that's what they were suggesting. Different colours, different designs, different apps perhaps, maybe different accounts. I don't know how deep it goes. But that would, to me, extend for us to voices as well. So you've got your home desktop and then your office desktop. As more of us continue to work from home, some of us may permanently work from home. I know a lot of people will end up back in the office, but even so, for those who don't or use their computer for work, they would probably want to be able to change that. So visually you can change it. I'd like to audibly change that as well.
Have a break time desktop versus your work time desktop.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the era we are in at the moment, it seems. The biggest change that's coming to all these systems is customization, more and more customization, which is no bad thing. But we need to be included in that. So, you know, I want to know how that was going to be. Just on that point about changing voice quickly, remind me on this one. I think I'm right in saying this, Robin, it's VO, Command, Shift, and then right arrow, left arrow to quickly get to the voice change menu and other menus actually as well, speed and pitch.
Yeah, so not all the three bottom ones plus the shift takes you into the voice changing menu.
So really snappy. Well, okay, let me be clear on this. It's the worst menu that VoiceOver has because it takes forever to show up. Not so much on an M1 Mac, though. Just saying. So I know Gordon, who listens, he's got an M1 Mac, so he will be zipping through it. If you're on an Intel Mac, what you do is hit the buttons and go make a cup of tea, come back, and hopefully the menu will appear. Right, let's get another email in, Andy.
This is an email from Karen after a phone. Hello, team. Can you help me to find or have any makes of a smartphone with a keyboard? I've tried using a touchscreen phone, but I've not managed very well. I have the Captus phone from Computer Room Services. Captus?
Capsys, I think it's K-A-P-S-Y-S, I believe that one is, yeah.
But what I want is to get Facebook and Messenger on my phone. My mum has tried to download them onto my mobile phone, but after some years, it's just not compatible. Now, the other question I have is keyboards. Is there a small-sized keyboard that you could connect it to your phone? There is a keyboard on my phone, but I like to use Facebook and Messenger from a phone rather than a computer. I would be very grateful if you could help. Thanks for a very interesting podcast on your program. Bye for now. That's from Karen.
Oh, Karen. Oh, you know, I need to get Karen on the show because I could spend an hour just talking to you about this. You know, so keyboards and iPhones. Now, I don't know what you're using, a Capsys at the moment. I don't think you told me whether you were using an iPhone or an Android phone. Not that it really matters. But you can connect a keyboard to that smartphone. So if you've got a touchscreen phone, you can use your Bluetooth keyboard with it. Now, I'll be honest, I haven't spent a huge amount of time. Let's just clarify that. Any time on an Android phone with a Bluetooth keyboard. I've not done it yet. I really should, just to see what it's like. I don't imagine it's hugely different to the experience on an iPhone, to be honest. In fact, I would say in some ways it might be better, but the truth is, I don't know. So I will try that at some point. I'll dig out my... Hang on, I've got my Android phone here somewhere. Hang on. There we go. I'm kidding. Of course, it's not even turned on. What are you doing? Are you kidding me? But we'll try that. But I think using the keyboard might be the solution, because that's what I do. I've got my Magic keyboard, and you can use it. You don't have to use one of the Apple ones. You can get a cheapy one from the internet. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. The one that I have recommended before, because I think it's just a great keyboard generally. I think you've got one as well now, Robin, is the K380 from Logitech. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is a really nice little neat keyboard. I mean, it's a small keyboard, almost laptop style. It doesn't have the number pad. It's got cursor keys, obviously, on it, which is fine, and they're kind of at the bottom right. But its ability to sort of connect to three devices at once is good. So you could have it, you could use your PC at one point, then you could switch it to use your phone, and then you could switch it to use something else. I mean, I've got mine on my Apple TV. And that's how I use my Apple TV. I don't even bother with the remote because I spent £55 on that stupid new Siri remote and it's terrible. I don't like it. It's even worse than the previous one. It's just terrible. So I use a keyboard now and that's what I do. So I've hooked up the keyboard. Sorry, slight rant there, Karen. But yeah, basically, if you get a keyboard, it will make life a lot easier. And just if you want to try it, if you've got an existing Bluetooth keyboard, pair it up. Try it out and just arrow left and right. Just, if you've got VoiceOver turned on or TalkBack, just use your arrow keys and you'll arrow around the screen. And it takes a little bit of getting used to, but at the same token, in some ways, it's easier than trying to use a screen reader on a computer because there's less places to go, right? It's pretty much a big list you're living in. So you just go left and right, through this list. We should do a proper demo one day of actually how this works. That's your job for next week, Robin.
I think it's the optimum. I'm definitely sidestepping that. The optimum combo is a keyboard, and certainly learn the hotkeys, like VOH to kind of close an app or to go home anyway.
Yeah.
But also a bit of roaming as well, because she was basically saying that she wants a keyboard there to kind of help in doing keyboardy type things. But there's no reason not to, use the screen as well. And the reason why I say that is because if you were talking about something like the Orbit Writer, which is a Braille keyboard, really excellent, affordable, then you can do your input, but it's a little bit more challenging with combos of hotkeys when you've got a Braille input keyboard. So yeah, roam around on the screen, use the screen in the way that you want to, and whichever is your preferred device for getting that text in there accurately and quickly.
Well, and most of the Bluetooth keyboards today, even for many years now, will have special buttons, near the top or somewhere on there. They're specifically made for either iPhone or Android. I have the Logitech Keys to Go keyboard, which is very flat. Oh, it's a beautiful keyboard.
No, come on.
Oh,
the it's Keys like trying to type on a credit card.
No, well, but that's fine. I mean, I typically do like a nice big chunky key to, pound on, but for, just throwing it in my backpack or sitting on the couch, it's so nice to use. And if I spill something on it, it's got that covering on it where I can just wipe it off, because that's important to me.
It is definitely blind friendly, I'll give you that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, very blind friendly. And we know me with frying keyboards. But that keyboard is made to either use with an iPhone or an Android, and you've got buttons to go to the home screen or use the app switcher and volume and mute and all those kind of things.
You know what? I hate to interrupt you, but we're out of time and I want to continue this conversation. Let's do it properly though next time. Let's get our keyboards. Let's actually talk about this on the show in an upcoming show. Let's definitely do that. Plus more on Windows 11 to come as well. And lots more news on Tech Talk over the next couple of weeks. Do stay with us. For now though, Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet, Tim Schwartz from LifeAfterBlindness.com, emails Andy. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Catch you next time.